morning, I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want to start off again by saying congratulations to the graduating class of 2023. It has been my honor and my privilege to be your youth pastor the last 4 years and to see each one of you young ladies grow in your walk with the Lord and to see God move and to see what He's going to continue to do in your lives. And this morning, in front of your family and friends and your church family, I'm hoping that I can give you one last challenge that will help you as you step into this next chapter of your life. The main topic we're going to look at this morning is keeping the first thing first. Paul gives a great example of this to the church in Corinth, simply in two verses that we find in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verses 13 through 14, and they say this: "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love." Let's pray this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and God, I do thank you that you still do answer prayers. God, I thank you that you encourage us every single day, and that you work in our lives to be strong and courageous and to stand in our faith and to be on guard of things of this world. And God, this morning, as we're using this service to honor the graduates, God, let us not forget that none of this happens without your help. Lord, if they don't hear anything else this morning, let them know that the most important thing is to keep you first in all aspects of life. Lord, thank you for this morning and speak through me. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul comes to the church at Corinth in this letter, and he writes to them about things being on guard, standing firm in the faith, being courageous, being strong, because they're a church who's done well spiritually, but they're not doing enough with God's help in their life. And so I believe he brings these points up, which is great for a pastor because he gives the four perfect points to go through in this. And we're going to look at each one. So I'm not going to take much of an introduction. So we're going to look at the first one he says. It says, you must be on guard. You must be alert. This phrase is used 22 times in the New Testament in reference to a Christian's spiritual life. The church in Corinth was not alert. They were not mindful to the things of God. In fact, if you read through the whole entire book, you'll see that they found human wisdom to be more important than God's word. They were immoral in the way that they lived their life. They confused and perverted the ideas of marriage and divorce. They were self-indulgent. They misunderstood and misused their spiritual gifts. So Paul comes to them trying to let them know, you need to be on guard. You need to be alert of the things that you are doing. And as I was studying this and I was thinking, how can this be appropriate to our graduates this morning? How could this be appropriate to our church this morning? I came up with a few things that the Bible in the New Testament tells us we need to be on guard with in our lives. The first is this, is that we need to be on guard of Satan and his works. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are." Graduates, you're stepping into a new chapter of life, something that a lot of these adults in here have done before. And they can tell you that it's not going to be easy. It will be difficult. But if you stay on guard, not watching where you're driving, which is important, please do that. Not watching as you walk. Not the physical aspects of life, but the spiritual aspect. Be on guard of Satan and his works. First, as Peter told us there, he says, stand firm in him. And the only way you can stand firm against him and be alert to him is if you stand firm in your faith. But also, like what he writes there, he says, don't think that you're going through this alone. Others around you are dealing with the same kind of suffering that you are, which tells us you can go and lean on your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Other thing about this is that we need to be mindful to the strategies of Satan. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, in the King James Version, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are not of the Father, but of the world." I like how it's written in the New Living Translation. It says, "For the world offers only these cravings for physical pleasure, and a craving for other things that we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. But these are not of the Father. They are from the world." Don't let something shiny and exciting be something that you crave after. Always look to the Lord. Keep Him first and be on guard of what Satan wants to do. The other thing the Bible tells us to be on guard for is our temptations of life. Mark chapter 14, verse 38 says, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." We must be watching and seeking the Lord daily in everything that we do. I've told our students over and over again, and graduates, you've probably heard me say it a lot of times, we need to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. We need to be communicating to God on a daily basis. Not trying to go through this life doing it ourselves, because this scripture tells us that if we're doing this in prayer and we're keeping watch with God, then the Spirit is willing enough to deter us from temptations, but the flesh and the body is weak and will fail every time. We must be watchful and seeking the Lord daily through His Word and prayer. If we do this, then in our lives, we won't even notice temptations, because we will be so close in our walk with God that our eyes and our ears are focused on only what He has for us. The other thing that we see here throughout Scripture, it says we must be on guard for apathy. Don't be lazy in your walk with Christ. As Christians, we cannot neglect God's Word or treat it as if it means nothing, because the Word of God is alive and true and is there for us daily. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Allow it to teach and counsel each of you with all the wisdom that God gives." I know you have a Bible, because I just gave you one, graduates. Take it. Use it. Allow the richness of the Word of God to dwell in your life, so that it's His wisdom that you draw on and not your own. Then we see in Scripture it tells us to be on guard of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there were false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the Master who brought them, and in this way they will bring sudden destruction on themselves." Graduates, you're heading out into a very corrupt world. A world that does not see God for who He is. And there's a lot of false teachers that Satan has sent out there to introduce their lies to you that sound good and they look good and they tell you that you'll gain these things. But let me tell you, only the Word of God can get you to the place of eternal gain that you need. Those heresies, those lies, everything that you hear from these false teachers lead to destruction because they deny Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth. They will chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid for suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news of Christ and fully carry out the ministry that God has for you." False teachers are not going to call on the name of the Lord. They're going to tell you a message. They're going to share something to you that sounds good enough to you just to take care of that itching ear. As Paul told Timothy there, they're not wanting to hear the truth. They're wanting to hear something that just helps them get along in life. Here's a great example. Here's something to help you out for all of us in here. There's a big difference between God's word and false teachers. If you hear God's word, then you're hearing sound doctrine and truth from God himself. If you are hearing false teachings, you're only hearing myths and lies. God's truth is alive and real today. And then lastly, after you hear all this, is you need to be on guard for the Lord's return. As Christians, the greatest motivation for us in this life is to first live a life fully devoted to God, but secondly is to look forward to his return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says, "So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day or time the Lord is coming." In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear into fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." Graduates, church, the Lord's coming back. We don't know when, we don't have to know when, we just know he's coming because he tells us. So we need to be on guard, we need to be alert, we need to be living our life to the fullest that God's given us. So when that time comes, we're ready and available for him to take us home. So Paul tells us first, be on guard. Second thing we see here, he says, you must stand firm in the faith. See, just like the church in Ephesus, the church at Corinth were being carried away by every source of doctrine. Their faith was defined in whoever's story sounded good. They were just going along with whoever. And Paul writes to them and tells them, you need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stand firm in the truth and the content of what the gospel message is. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says, "But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people." If you're a Christian in here this morning, you've been entrusted with the word of God. You've been called to stand firm on the word of God in everything that you do, everywhere that you go, to live a life entrusted by him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul wrote this to him. He says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it." Paul saying, look, the message has not changed. Everything that I preached to you when I preached to you ago, it's all the same. You just need to stand firm in it. Graduates, everything that you've heard from a child to now, as you've walked through this life and you've heard the message of Christ, stand firm in that faith. Don't be tossed to and fro. Faith is what Paul told Timothy we need in order to fight the good fight. Paul told the Philippians that they expected them to stand firm, or he expected them to stand firm in one faith, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not that it was just an individual thing, but it was to find those people around them that stand firm in the faith as well, and to stand together in this battle. We must hold fast to correct interpretations of God's word. We must do it. You need graduates, if you're heading off, find you a good church. Don't just go to a church on the first Sunday and think that it's a good church. Truly listen to what's happening. Listen to the teaching. Listen to the preaching. Hear the message of God. If you're staying home, stay here. Come back. Don't stop coming. Because we must hold fast to the correct message of God's word and not fall into wrongful thinking, wrongful believing, or even behavior in our lives. See, Paul says this specifically to the church in Corinth because many in the church of Corinth had started looking at the gospel message of God as foolish and irrelevant in their lives. He had already preached this message before. He's instilled this to them. And he's saying, and they're looking at this as being unimportant. But Paul says, you need to stand firm in that faith that was preached to you long ago. They started taking human philosophy and human wisdom to heart over the truth of God's word. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 18 through 19 says, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to be a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish to God, and as the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. John MacArthur wrote this quote. As he did some research and stuff, he said, there's many professing Christians today who will look upon the word of God and simply use it as a human commentary and not realize that it has power and truth. Professing Christians in today's society will look on the word of God and just say that it's human interpretation, but that is false. How do we know this? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God is alive. The word of God has power. But it wasn't that it was inspired by man. Man wrote it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It is there to correct us when we're wrong and to teach us what is right. The Bible helps us with the guidelines and instructions on standing firm for God. We need to be educated in God's word. We need to know God's word from memory, because in order to do this, this allows us to be able to stand firm in our faith. Then we see where Paul says we must be courageous and strong. Paul here is telling us that you need to be mature in your walk with the Lord. For a mature Christian has a sense of control and confidence. Paul had already pleaded with the church at Corinth before. He told them to stop acting like children. This morning, I believe this verse is for us. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature in the understanding of matters of this kind. Paul's saying this morning, he says, quit being childish to the point where you just look at something and you forget it. He says, be mature enough that you start knowing the word of God. Have the confidence and the control to want to know God's word. Graduates, Christians, this morning, it's time for us to grow up and be mature and strong and courageous in the Lord. For when we grow in our maturity with Christ, it helps us with these parts of our lives. We will live the doctrine of the Bible out. We will have spiritual insight from God. The emotional stability will be under control. Our personal relationships will be godly, and the moral purity will all be sought after God and His will. We have to be courageous and strong. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. It doesn't say just grow in the wisdom that you accumulate every single day. It says grow in the knowledge and the grace of God. Let Him be the first thing in your mind and in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, which is Christ. Again, Paul to the church at Ephesus says, quit being childish in your faith. Quit just taking this understanding of faith and just being childish in it, but work at it. Know that the truth of God is being spoken through you in love, and grow in this so that it matures your body and your mind so that you have the likeness of Christ. He tells us in Ephesians right there, he says, because if you continue to live this life as an infant, you will be tossed back and forth and blown here and there by the teachings of this world. Stand firm in your faith. Be strong and courageous. Because only a strong spirit with the Lord can successfully battle and overcome the temptations of the flesh. Again, you can't do it by yourself. You cannot walk this life battling the things that Satan's going to throw at you without God being on your side. You cannot overcome it, because the temptations of the flesh will overcome you. The person who thinks they are strong in themselves, Scripture tells us, is in great danger of falling. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I like what Paul told us. The greatest lesson I believe he ever learned came directly from the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says this to the church. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul says, this life is not about me. You can go into deeper about that. He goes, I believe before that, he tells them, look, I did this life before Christ. I thought it was important to have the fame. I thought it was important to have the money. I thought it was important for me to crucify these Christians and to kill them, innocent people of Christ. And he says, I come to find out it was all garbage. And the only thing I needed was Christ and Christ alone in my life. He says, I didn't need anything else of this world. He says, my grace and the power of God was perfect in my weakness. And so now I understand that I have nothing to boast, but instead I will boast about the power of Christ that is now in me. Walk in that faith. Have that confidence. Be courageous enough to be like Paul and to be able to walk this life and say, I have God even in my weakness. He is strong in me. We can no more be spiritually strong than we can be physically strong without self-discipline. Without self-discipline in this life, you are not going to grow spiritually or physically strong. Without giving yourself over to God, without disciplining yourself enough to quit thinking about yourself and to let God work, get in His Word, be in prayer, be around fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For then and only then will you grow in your strength. But you can also grow in your strength when you actually use your strength. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. If you're a Christian, you can live a life of worthy because God is in you. Bearing His fruit, growing in the knowledge of Him daily, and being strengthened only by Him, so that when the time comes, you have the endurance and the patience to make it through. Graduates, it's time you look at your parents and say thank you, because they've dealt with a lot of this endurance and patience in these last few years. But now it's time to pass that on to you. Patience and endurance is now coming to you. But you can't do this without the strength of the Lord. He has to be the source of your strength. A very, very well-known verse. Philippians chapter 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Call on God. And then lastly, Paul says this. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. We must do all these things in love. I believe Paul put that here because I don't think you can do any of these things without the love of Christ in you. Because love complements and balances all these things out for us to be able to do it. And here's the main key of this. If you love God, you will sin less. If you give your love over to God, God will work in your life. The people at Corinth didn't understand this. Their love was not for God. Their love was for themselves. Their love was for wisdom. Their love was for what they wanted. And they did not see that it was the love of what Christ did for them that would help them mature in their lives. You have to understand, too, this morning that love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. It's an action. We know this from the greatest example, which was God. Because God loved us so much that he gave his only son for us. He sacrificed him for us. He showed his love to us by giving the sacrifice of his son. But God goes on throughout scripture and commands us to use this love in our lives. John chapter 15 verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. You can't love anyone or anything without understanding the love of Christ for you. Love strengthens you and draws you to God. It brings you to the point where you fully understand the sacrifice of what he did for us. The Pharisees couldn't understand this. To the point they even asked Jesus, they tried to challenge him. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 39, and they asked this question. They said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. But the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. So love God first, love everyone else, put yourself last. Love is our highest calling of life. It brings the greatest contributions in life because it's not for us, it's for others. The love of Christ was shown to us on the cross. See, we miss out on this, and Paul's trying to make this very strong, I believe, here in all this, and I do believe that's why he put this at the very end. Because he's saying for you to be on your guard, to stand firm in your faith, to be courageous and strong, you have to understand the love of Christ. Because without the love of Christ, without what God did, you don't have the rest of this. So this morning, before I close, we need to understand the love of God. Know that he sent his only son for us. Know that the bloodshed of his only son is what gives us life eternally. And know that the message of that needs to be shared with others. We don't hold on to that message. We are to share it with everyone that we know. Because it is our highest calling to live out the love of Christ in our lives. So in closing, I just have this. Graduates, if you haven't heard anything this morning, listen up, because this is to you. We are proud of all the achievements that you've made. You've worked hard, you've done great. But remember this, be on guard and stand firm in your faith. Be courageous and strong in your walk with Christ. Do all of it in love. Keep God first. Your fathers, your mothers, your grandparents, your friends, the church here, we've done everything that we can to train you up in walking with the Lord. It's up to you now. It's up to you. As Joshua said to the Israelite people, I think this is one of the greatest ways to close this out today. He said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve self? Or are you going to keep the first thing first, which is your relationship with Christ? Let's pray.